Okay, we are going to meditate first. Please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight. Gently close your eyes. Today, this evening, Monday, after work, you all are here, which I am so grateful. Thank you so much for coming. Now, this time we are going to paying attention to ourselves, our physical body, our mind, our feelings, thoughts and emotions. This journey is an inward journey. Always we are working with outside people, outside things. When you come to meditation, we all are working on ourselves. This is the purpose of this practice. What other people think, what other people say. When you are going out inside journey, it is not important. If you really feel comfortable with your practice, this is your time. This is my time. Now take few deep long breaths and release, let go. Relax your body, relax your mind. We all always have thoughts in our mind. Some are positive, some are negative. This moment, we create skillful thoughts in our mind, especially loving kindness. It is not a job to do, making our intention in our mind. Then let it process. Means you are understanding what it means to yourself. You can repeat, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful. When you repeat those three words, always try to define those three words yourself. Maybe many years ago, where you understand those three words, when you are looking at them now, maybe you have a better wisdom. Therefore, right now, in this present moment, when you define those three words to yourself, you can see where is your practice. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards your family. Make that intention towards them. May all of my family members be well, be happy, be peaceful. Think of your parents or grandparents. How do you feel? Brothers and sisters, how do you feel? Children and grandchildren, how do you feel when you think of them? If they are loving, positive people, deeply you are connected to them. If they are not, that is the place we have to focus on as yourself. Why I feel hurt? Why I am mad with them? Maybe they didn't do things you want to see according to your expectations. Maybe they were mean or rude. That's the nature of human beings. Maybe you cannot completely change them. That's not your job. But you can completely change your response. That's your responsibility. To do that, understand human conditions, imperfection. Then think to yourself, I deserve peace. Therefore, I forgive them. Forgiveness is completely letting go without reservations. You can forgive, no need to forget, which is impossible. When those annoying, difficult thoughts come to your mind because of your family members, how do you manage your thoughts and feelings? That's what's important. Then send your loving thoughts towards them. I wish them well. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards whole world. May all living beings be well, be happy, be peaceful. Now slowly turn your attention to your breath. It means your life. Every breath you take in, you take out, is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breath. Now observe your mind, observe your body. Your body is relaxed, your mind is calm, tranquil and peaceful. Make a strong determination to practice meditation every day, regularly, with diligence and patience. Understand how important this meditation practice. Make yourself well, happy, peaceful and balanced. Now bring your palms together close to your heart. Make a wish for yourself, your inner journey or your practice, how you want to live your life. Then after you create these positive thoughts in your mind, this is the blessing for you, and also you can share this blessing with somebody else or other people. Good time to transfer these thoughts to people who is looking for some healing, prayers, blessings, even departed ones. May peace be with you. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes.
Okay, Michael, turn the cushion. Okay. I know most of you know today topic of the talk, the role of noble friendship in our spiritual journey. So first I want to introduce, you know, if you don't know about Michael. So this is Michael Fronczak. I call my first American student. So I met him 26 years ago. He was 19 years old, difficult, challenging child. I met him, I was in Michigan. So the first day I was meeting him at the meditation class. He will tell more about it. Actually, I was guiding the meditation. I think Marty remember that in the beginning I used to do it here too. I always reading the paper. So now I don't do it anymore. So that time, now I think about 26 years ago, it is very challenging. I don't know what I'm doing. And so he was there in that class. I was reading, I was doing a loving kindness meditation. This kid was there. He's smiling, I'm smiling. That's the only thing we know. And we don't know, you know, whatever people talking, I don't understand. Because it's very difficult to understand that accent. So anyway, the first day we met, still we have a picture we took. And now after 26 years later, when I'm thinking, I always feel it was an amazing journey together. So then I left Detroit, Michigan. Then I came to Chicago here. So then I was thinking, that's it. You know, I was thinking it is going to end because we are totally two different states. So what Michael did, every time when he has time, he was driving to see me from Detroit to here. Then he came, and when I was living with Paul and Song and their house in Cary, so we were, you know, he was visiting me, and so we were sharing the room. He was staying and sleeping on the floor and spending weekend and, you know, traveling. Sometimes we go to Chicago, and that time I am in the school too. However, he continued this friendship. So anyway, after he graduated from the college, and he came to stay with me. He stayed, I think, 2 years. So the first day after I met him, I felt I have so many people in my life like that. So I deeply connected to those people, even they are going through difficult, challenging time in their life. Always I see some light, those people. So when I see that light, I always thinking, I can help this person. I can support this person. So always I try to be compassionate and support you, and helping especially young people. Now those young people, now they are adults. I'm aging. And so they still continue this friendship with me. This is amazing. So now we switch our countries. Now 15 years he's living in Sri Lanka. I think now I'm living here. Now he's so, I can see when he does things, sometimes a little bit annoying to me, sometimes, be honest, because he's so Sri Lankan. But I am so American. But still I have my Sri Lankan feeling too. So then I'm looking at him, he always say, what? You know, I'm always react like an American person. Now he's reacting like a Sri Lankan person. It's very, so how culture's conditioning us, right? So it's very interesting. However, so our friendship, teacher, student, friend, whatever word we use, it wasn't fun always. And also we are cross cultures. When I say something with pure intention, Michael totally misunderstands that. Then he gets upset. Then he sends something sweet, beautiful, kindly, something according to your culture. I totally misunderstand that. Then we get into the argument. However, these 26 years we did so well together. Michael will explain a lot about it more than me. Then I will add few more things. So now think about, he's running the Sanatha Suya, our Blue Lotus, you know, related to the Blue Lotus Temple, a beautiful meditation center in Sri Lanka. He is the director, you know, he's the big boss there. He is teaching meditation, he is teaching yoga, he is running whole center there. It's a big job. So when somebody donated that piece of land for me before I come to United States, somebody donated when I met that person in Australia. And then that land was there, you know, without nothing, in the middle of the forest. So this young man running around doing things, and, you know, so then I said, let's go to Sri Lanka. So then I thought, I want to give him a project. So I said, Michael, how about, you know, let's do this. Then he said, okay, right? And he said, lots of snake and, you know, middle of the forest. I remember still we have pictures, my nephew and him, and start to cut the grass and all the, you know, little, you know, bushes and all those things. Finally, now we have beautiful meditation center. Yesterday, our monk, Vanti Rahula, he was visiting there while he was using candy. You know, this morning he called me and said, I cannot believe how beautiful that place. I can see, you know, he said, I can see Bhante Sujata's disorder. Everything has to be perfect and organized. And the trees and plants and everything. Actually, Michael and my nephew and our staff, they are working so hard. So many people travel to Sri Lanka and see that place. So now I can see Michael taking this message to the world, what I share with the world. I'm really sure, even if I die tomorrow, still, he will continue the journey, whatever message. Okay, Michael, now that's your time. You can turn on this microphone. Yes. Hold it down. You can see. Yeah, this is a little mark. Oh, okay.
Battery life? Can you see?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's full battery.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Bhante, get more cheese.
Do I need the microphone? Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
It's okay to talk without it?
Yeah, sure.
No. Everybody?
Yeah. In the back?
Oh, yeah, it's recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good start for my recording. For anybody listening to this, last night, Bhante Sujata gave me another lesson about how to use a microphone. He said to me, he was telling me, you know, that because, of course, we're not using them. I'm not accustomed to using them, so please forgive me for microphone weaknesses this evening. So thank you, everybody. thank you, Bhante, for giving me that introduction. Thanks to the Blue Lotus and all the people who care for it and everybody who's working hard to help it and make it this beautiful place to share with the world and have me here this evening. I think if 19 years ago somebody told me we'd be giving this talk, I don't think I'd ever believe something like that. I was born in Detroit, and I was raised in the Metro Detroit area. When I was young, I was a little bit maybe more rambunctious perhaps than some children, or too foolish to not hide it well, and I got caught plenty of times with all the things that I did. And through all of my mischief, I ran into a lot of issues. I was making a lot of poor choices at the time. I was hanging out with people who weren't good inspirations. And so finally, everything kind of caught up with me at a very young age. At around age 16, I was kind of institutionalized. I had to leave the school that I was going to, and a few other things kind of came up. And so my parents were very kind to look after me and help me get out of that situation as much as they could. And I had to go to a completely new environment. I went to a new school. I had to meet new people, and it was all kind of in the senior year and everything like that. So I think it was very interesting because my mother always pointed out those days I had long hair and I was like always wearing black clothes and skateboarding and all of this. And she said, just one day you like totally changed. Everything just kind of changed. And I was beginning to make a commitment to try and find a new direction for my life. I knew that I wasn't on a good path. I didn't know how to get out of it, but I knew that was a time to change. And so I began focusing on my education. And then through getting interested in that, I got introduced to a Buddhist temple. And through that Buddhist temple, I got introduced to meditation and different meditation groups. And then finally, they invited this person to come and teach. We still don't know how that teacher actually found Bhante Sujata, but the person who was guiding that group said he was always very mystical. So he says, tonight, a man is coming. A very special man that I met. And I didn't even know it was going to be a monk, right? And then so, sure enough, Bhante comes in, and I was reading some Buddhist books at the time. And he and another monk came in, and I had been focusing on concentration meditation techniques, kind of focusing on different things like that, transcendental meditation and whatnot, and Bhante came in and did the loving-kindness meditation. And something was very powerful about that. I do remember the paper. As a matter of fact, I still have those papers that he was reading from. It was the longest meditation in the world. He blessed everything that night. I think we covered the entire universe. And so after the meditation was over, I was really interested. And the book that I had read said something to the effect of, we meet people again and again. And those that we encounter, they're special to us. And there's a reason we've encountered them. So I wanted to say something that sounded like cool from a kung fu movie or something like that. I was going to have this moment. So I said to him, so we've met before, we're meeting again, right? Hmm? And he's just like, I think so. Like, you know? So, I mean, I think it, I think now he was just being polite, you know. But, however, that moment, I think it's, the conditions were correct, right? My mind was in the right place. I was looking for change. I was surrounded by good people. And whatever karma, whatever it might be, that brought us to that moment, I think that this is what our meditation practice even does, is we get out of the way and we allow the conditions to arise. And so, however, that helped. And it brought me to that moment where I could see, okay, this is somebody I'm attracted to. Now, whether it was whatever my... I can't think back exactly what 19-year-old Michael was thinking, but I knew that this was somebody I wanted to know more about. And so they were establishing the temple, and we would go there, and they would cook us delicious food, and we would do work and help them, and Bhante and I got to be friends. I used to laugh at his kind of OCD. We share a passion for cleaning. There's no doubt about it. But when I saw him ironing the bed sheets, he was a new level. Like, he was, I said, okay, ironing your bed sheets, that's a new one. But we have a very similar, in that way we're so similar, but in so many ways, as Bhante mentioned, we're so different. But that didn't matter. I could just say we were fast friends. And spending time together, I think one of the things that I've said to this Blue Lotus community more than once, but it really is something I can't stress enough, is I actually haven't spent much time on the cushion in front of Bhante. In 26 years, geographically, we've always been bouncing around each other. So learning from Bhante hasn't, I call him my teacher, my guru, but the Dharma transmission that has come to me through Bhante has been through our friendship, through experience, through the relationship. It feels very fortunate because it offers a lot of opportunities that we don't normally get. Right? When we read something or we hear something, we're making that connection. We're getting so much from the teacher. But sometimes without situational challenges or maybe some kind of particular arising, we don't know exactly who we're going to be or how we're going to react. So a good example, which I think Bhante and I have practiced many, many, many times over the years, is how crazy can we make the other person, and how crazy is this person going to make me before I totally give up and leave? Many people travel with us. When we're in Sri Lanka, we travel around, and people will kind of look at the way that we interact and that way we behave, and they're like, oh my God, you two are like a married couple. And I think that is a reasonable thing to observe after 26 years of friendship, right? You know, think about your brothers, your sisters, your parents. You know, you have a very close relationship with them. It goes beyond so many conventional or social boundaries. And so this person and I, we have a different way of talking, we have a different way of thinking, expressing. For as much as we like to clean, I could wear the same shirt for 20 years. Have no problem with it. And, you know, he's always reminding me, no, you need to look like this, you need to do that. We have so many different ways that we do this, but still we come together. So being able to retain our identities and have a deep connection is the huge foundation of, I think, what has worked. So Bhante and I have been talking for the last few days, kind of discussing this idea of what we're going to share. And I think what was really important is Bhante said, you know, what is it that keeps the relationship going? What keeps the friendship going? How do you maintain that? So that is, I think, a great question. And the first thing that came to my mind, he gave a list, but the first thing that came into my mind was actually confidence. And we can ask ourselves, confidence in what, right? And I think it's my confidence in Bhante's character, in his heart, in the person that I can feel he is, right? So he mentioned that he likes to, or that he can feel people and he can see this, and then he wants to uplift them. Perhaps he could see that I was still coming from trouble. Right? He has years and experience on me, so maybe at that time he recognized that there was something good, there was something worth fighting for. I don't think that I had the insight or that I could actually say that that's what I was doing, but I always knew that this was also a person worth fighting for. that this was going to be somebody who actually wanted to bring out the best in me. And having spent all this time with him, even in 26 years, I've come to realize the only thing he's ever asked me for or to do was something that was going to benefit me. So maybe you're thinking now in your life, who are my noble friends, right? Who are the people like that? Who is it in your life that's ever asked you only to do better for yourself? Even if he gave me a job or he said, do this, whatever, I could look back and see all of those things were intended for that, right? There are things that he's asked me to do I didn't understand. There's decisions that he's made I didn't agree with. Unfortunately, pretty much 99% of the time he's been right. His nephew and I work together at Sanata Suya, as Bhante mentioned, and we look at things, and we, Krishan, Bhante's nephew, he knows so well, and he says, we look at each other later, we're like, he was right again. Later we're going to say, you know, we're going to hear the, I told you guys, this is what to do. But as you reflect and as you think about who are the people in your life who only wanted better for you, ask yourself, have you been a noble friend to yourself? Have you always been able to want the best for yourself? Maybe not always the thing that feels good, right? But are we always working for the thing that benefits us? And so most of us are not noble friends to ourselves, because we're not always doing what's best for us. Sometimes we're doing what we want. And because Bhante has been this noble friend who's always wanted the best for me, it's often gotten in the way of many things that I wanted, right? And so that's the hard part. That becomes the hard part. So when he's difficult, or when he's maybe admonishing or chastising something, you know, giving me a hard time, it will be my responsibility to come back to that foundation, to come back to that confidence, right? So when I look at it and I let my ego, I let my emotions, I let those things calm down, I can come back and I can think, okay, what's really the message here? And so even Bhante and I are arguing, we've kind of come to understand that our arguments are just about 5 minutes or so. Usually because I'm just too impatient to sit around feeling bad. So I'm like, no, stop, let's get this over with. But it's such an important aspect. And so I'm encouraging you, as you reflect on these things later, to add this to your thinking, is who are the people that I'm confident about, right? Who am I really confident about? And also, of course, the message is going to always be to come back to yourself. You go through this practice, you go through your internal work, and then you're able to become confident in your practice. I even like to say that the person who truly knows themselves is unshakable. And that has to come through that confidence in your character. So another aspect is communication. You know, in the Buddhist teachings, it's nice to be in this temple and to talk with people who are coming from the Buddhist background, but so much of the Buddhist teachings are about speech. And so many of the guidelines, the 8 precepts and the 10 precepts, so many of them are connected to this correct or mindful, skillful speech. And so a few years ago, more than a few years ago, I guess, but a moment arose where I think it's the benefit of my practice, but Bhante and I were having some kind of disagreement, and then finally I stopped and I said, just, what do you mean? What exactly do you mean? And then we interacted to explain kind of what his words meant and what my words meant, and I explained to him what I understood. And we found out we were on a completely different page. I think in you're a very young person, I think this would be texting is what I would say. I would think now the new thing is texting. My wife and I text, and I've made a commitment that we're never going to text anything important because it's impossible to understand. And so looking at this, so we have a language difference, we have a cultural difference, and so looking back, I told him today, I said, looking back, I realized how many things you said I didn't understand, and how many times I actually got so emotional, reacting to my interpretation, not reacting to try and understand what the message was. You know, I think those of you who are close with Bhante or that you work with him, you know him, it's not easy. It's not easy. And as you should be shy. And but he always leads with, listen to my heart. And so I think that maybe I don't always do it, but I know that that's what's kept me going, by being able to listen with my heart. So we have confidence, we have communication. Another thing is time, right? Time. You're going to have to be prepared to invest time in that relationship. And it won't mean, you know, you've got to always, you know, drive to Chicago or whatever, Woodstock. But using your energy. Keeping that person in your mind. Keeping that. Even I say now, you know, the image of the devil, the angel, you know, I've got a little Bhante on my shoulder now. And that's in a way that's time. He and I, for a long time, we had a tradition. Every night we would call each other. We'd light a candle at the same time, wherever he was. He'd light a candle, I'd light a candle, and we'd meditate. Then it turned into a text message. Then we lost track of it, I think, for a while. But now I'll call him and I'll say, do me a favor, light a candle. And he'll go, he'll light a candle, I'll light a candle. It's a nice way to connect. I don't know if it works, but it works for us as friends. You know, this concept of noble friendship. We have to understand that why we're putting that term, that noble side, into it. We have so many friends, and I think most of us that have a few years behind us, we always say that, you know, finally I can count my closest friends on one hand or something like that. You know, you get that point where you start to understand who are the people that are really, really deeply connected to you. And so these are your noble friends, you know. Sometimes we think that it's... you know, even we have maybe expectations that our family members have to be those people, but maybe not. You know, we can love people. We don't have to like them. We can still love them. But it's going to be your noble friend who you can count on, who you can trust, who can tell you the hard message and that you'll be able to return to again and again. And I think, again, who's going to try and bring the best out in you. And that one who, hopefully, you're able to do the same for them. And it may not be. I couldn't say that this is interesting. I've asked Bhante in the past, I said, you know, I feel like I don't do anything for you. I feel like it's kind of all one-sided, you know. Like he's always supporting me, he's giving to me, he's teaching me, he's doing like this. But... after all these years, I figure he must be getting something out of it. Otherwise, he'd be gone by now. He's smart enough to move on when it's time. So don't question it, right? Don't maybe save yourself the time that I've learned from the time that I've spent worrying about it, right? And just continue to invest your heart into it. So when you're reflecting, if you don't feel that you've connected to someone in a way that sounds like you know, I don't have a noble friend, I'm sure that you do. It just might be that the conditions, that the time, that the situation wasn't right yet, that you've crossed their path. Yeah? But eventually, I'm sure you will. Because the Buddha was wise enough to understand and teach us and give us this opportunity. He created the Sangha, the community of practitioners, not just for the sake of, you know, you're going to need somebody to, you know, help you do this or that, but understanding that these people, this community was going to be there to help them uplift each other. And I made a mistake the other day, Bhante. I was recounting a story and Bhante reminded me, but the attendant Ananda asked the Buddha, he says, you know, is this friendship, this noble friendship, this Kalyanamitta, it must be half of the spiritual life. And the Buddha said, no. No, Ananda, that's incorrect. It's the whole of the spiritual life. And so that doesn't necessarily mean when he becomes enlightened, I do. I hope so. It'd be nice. Save me some time. But still, it's because of this noble friendship that I continued. You know, sometimes in emotional moments, we think about running away. But it's the moment of clarity that I think that brings us back again and again. And so that's been, I think, a wonderful part. So it's very difficult to summarize 26 years of friendship, but I hope that I've given some insight into what I do agree with Bhante, that what's been most important is how do you keep it going? And how do you open yourself again and again to the conditions to find it when it's available? And so that's really been my hope this evening, and I've hoped and I've given some insight into that. Do you have something else you want to share?
So thank you, Michael. I'm always, you know, maybe some people heard it before, I'm always reminding people, noble friends are not fun. Not fun. They are pain in somewhere. So I'm always telling, because my noble friends, my teachers, gave me the same direction when I was young, pushing me and, you know, asking me to do things, that it is so, but who I am now, because of those noble people who guided me, who has a patience with me, because I used to be very annoying young monk. I remember when I was like 12, 13 years old, even I'm so annoying and difficult and changing in the school as a young monk, there was a senior monk who, you know, every Sunday evening, there's a big, you know, sermon at the temple. People come, hundreds of people come. Then all the young monks under training, we have to go and sit around that monk and in the stage. And then we have to listen to that Dharma talk. So we don't like to go, but it's a long one. But I love to go and listen. So this teacher, one of my teachers in the school, when he's ready to give the talk, when he's getting ready and we are lined up, everybody go behind him, he always come to me and ask, I'm going to give you a talk tonight, today, this evening. So he always point me out. Then one day I remember he came to my ordination teacher and said, today I'm going to give this talk for this guy. Even there's hundreds of other young monks, he's always picking me. Then he said to my teacher, I see the future of this temple, because I'm the first student of my teacher. So then he said, I really remember that. He said, that's why I'm giving this talk for him. I can see the future of this temple. That time I didn't get that idea what he was talking about. I was thinking, what is he telling me? Because as a kid, I don't understand. Now I can see, because he also sees some light in me. As being a noble teacher, he was really helping me to get into that place. So therefore, noble friends are not fun, not always joyful. It's tough. We had the really hard time too. I gave him a hard time, you know. So he gave me a hard time too. But however, once he killed me, actually, and almost he killed me. He will tell the story. And he sneaked into my apartment 2 in the morning, and so he scared me. And I got heart attack almost. And so almost he killed me that day, right? You know, yeah. So anyway, let me finish it. And so, however, what I want to tell you today, this is so powerful to have a noble person who is really believing with your practice to keep close to with you. And then once Buddha said, there's a big sutra, I just give the message. So there was two friends, like me and Michael, two boys. And so one boy, one young man, he's always going to the Buddha, this Buddha, current Buddha, what we are talking about, listen to him. But other friend, he's not like a playboy type person, but they are good friends. And so now this good friend, he always thinking, I want to take my best friend to Buddha, listen to him. Then one day he made the proposal, let's go to listen to the Buddha. This evening I'm going to the meditation. He said, no, I don't care. I don't want to go. And according to the sutra, he said, I don't want to see that bald-headed man. That's what that friend said. He's so negative about it. Then couple of times he keep asking, but always he's rejecting. No, I don't want to go. You go if you want. But one day, when they are playing in the water, and he grabbed his underwear, and he said, I will take it out and run away taking your underwear, then you don't have clothes. And so, do you promise to go with me this evening to see the Buddha? Then that moment, that man, he was thinking, what? Why you are keep pushing me to go? Then he was saying, okay, today I'm coming. Why? He's so annoying to him. He said, okay, to make you happy, I'm coming. So then they both went to the Buddha. One he saw in the front row and listened to the Buddha. And that, you know, difficult guy, he's far away. And last row, he's not care about it. But he can hear what Buddha is talking about. So end of the Buddha's Dharma talk, that difficult child, he felt something good about himself after he listened to the Buddha. Then right after that, he felt something really good, like a blossoming something in his heart. Then best friend said, let's go. Then he said, no, before I go, I want to go to talk to the Buddha. So he came and kneeled down in front of the Buddha and said, Buddha, thank you so much. Today your message is profound. Something happened in my deep heart. And so I'm so grateful. So therefore, please accept me as your student. That annoying kid said that to the Buddha. Then Buddha smiled and he said, I am going to say something. I am going to make the prediction about your life in future. That's what that Buddha said, that time Buddha, okay, not this Buddha. So, no, actually, yeah, that previous Buddha. So he said, I'm going to make a prediction about your life in future. Millions of years later, there is a Buddha will come to the world. His name is Siddhartha Gautama. You are the one going to be the Siddhartha Gautama, this Buddha. Does it make sense? Then he said, think about the power of the noble friendship. Because of the power of the noble friendship, Buddha will come to the world too. How powerful that message. So this Buddha come to the world. He used to be that annoying kid previous life. That Buddha proclamation, you know, what is called the word?
Proclamation.
Proclamation, right? You know, so he confirmed one day, because of your noble friendship, you are going to be the Buddha. Now think about how powerful noble friendship is. So my point is, very difficult to find a noble friend. Very difficult. Very difficult. Now think about when you see an apple, looking at apple, okay, this is a good apple. You can decide looking at the shape and touch, right? When you go and looking at the avocado, I always do touch it, right? Looking at it, then we can figure out, this is a good avocado, this is a good apple, this is a good pineapple. We always, then when we see animal, the way animal or the bird or snake, or we are very good. When we see the snake, we saw, oh, this is the real snake, cobra. You know, he knows really well those things in Sri Lanka now. And so we can, but looking at people like that, can you decide that, she has a really nice hair, he's a good woman. oh, he's a good-looking man, he has a big heart. Looking at people, we cannot decide. But looking at a flower, we can decide. It's a good flower or smell good, we can decide. But looking at people, we cannot decide. Even we are spending time with this person 10 years, still we cannot make a decision about the good person or the bad person. So Buddha said, therefore, association, living with that person is very important. That's why I think people here in this country, before they marry, living together. I can see that, the concept, living together. They want to figure it out first. This is a good person for me or not. So then Buddha said, if you cannot find that person, noble person in your life, you can be noble to yourself. Don't pick the wrong person in your life, then your whole life becomes miserable. I had lots of experience with that too, because picking the wrong people, but I didn't talk about that part. You know, I can talk about the good part. I made the wrong choices too, bringing some people into my life. I was thinking they are noble, good, and powerful people. I was believing that, but later I figured it out they are not. So therefore, be careful when you are picking a person for a relationship or friendship, or it doesn't matter. It is very important, if not, live by yourself. That's my suggestion. So, anything else? You want to tell the story how you kill me?
I can.
I think that's a funny story, how he killed me.
People have actually gotten mad when they hear this story. So try to get it out before you talk to me later or something like that. So I don't think I left all my mischievousness behind, right? And so back when Bhante was living in his apartment with another monk, I would come drive down. So one weekend I planned to come and visit, and I told the other monk, I said, hey, you know, I've got to work. I'm not getting out of work till like 10:30. So I've got to drive about 5-6 hours. I'm not going to get in until like the middle of the night. So leave the door wall open for me, right? And so he's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, don't tell Bhante I'm coming, you know? And so I don't know, 3 in the morning, something like that. I get there and I hop over the thing, I open the wall, and I come in, and I couldn't resist, you know. I go back to his bedroom, and I'm like, I'm rubbing his chest, I'm like, hey man, hey,
hey dog.
What up, dude? You know, and I'm just, and then it's dark, and I think I flipped the light on. The light was on. So I'm like, what's up? You know, boom, I'm here. And then he kind of like starts shaking, and his hands go like this, and then and I'm like, ha. And I'm like, okay. You know, I wanted to get like a feather and check and see if he's breathing. I actually started freaking out. I really did. And then so I'm shaking his chest. I start hitting his face. I'm like, dude. I call him dude. So, and I'm like, wake up. And then he kind of wakes up and he's like looking at me. He finally came out of it. And I was like, oh, thank God you're alive. And then I'm like, I'm here. What's going on? And he was just like, really scared. And then he starts, you know, he kind of starts to kind of come out of it, and he goes, he says, I was having a dream and I felt like somebody was holding me underwater and I was trying to fight it off. Yeah. And then in my dream, I just decided, okay, I'll just give up, whatever. And so he, and that's, you know.
Yeah, I lost so, myself, actually.
I don't know. I think,
yeah.
So, I thought it was hilarious. And again, it wasn't the last time I snuck into his house at like 3 in the morning, you know. But, so I killed Bhante Sujata.
Right, yeah. So he did so many funny things to me so many times. And, you know, one time he called another monk and said, I'm coming again. You know, those monks, you know, always, you know, leave the patio door or something like that, not lock. Because then I'm in my room. And so then again he came to surprise me. Then, you know, it's so funny. That night I felt, I woke up in a dream. Then I thought somebody trying to walk into the house. I don't know he's coming. Then I will go to the door. You remember my apartment, right? I go to the door, then I, dark, I step on a shoe. Then I wake up. I was like sleepwalk, right? Sleepwalk in my dream. So I step on the shoe. Then I woke up, then I'm looking at the shoe. Then who's the shoes? I don't know. Then other monks are living in this living room because we don't have so many rooms. And so then I was kind of looking out, the living room. Then there is an extra person is sleeping. Then I go and look. Who is that? Then I thought, this is Michael. He came so late and came and to surprise me. What I did, I surprised him. Right? What I did, all the things, so many years he gave it to me, little things. What I did that night, I took one by one, I put around his sleeping area. All those things. Then I went to my room, I locked my door, I went to bed. Now, in the morning, we are messaging or something like that, right? You know, so then messaging, so he couldn't surprise me, I surprised him. So many funny things he did together. And so, therefore, it's a fun, joyful, challenging, that is the friendship always. So my message, find that person. Very challenging, find that person. If you find that person, keep that person very close to you. So why I really like our friendship? Because of our connection, this deep spiritual connection, we did lots of things together, good for the world. Now think about, he is a full-time my personal assistant because I cannot manage my calendar anymore. He is the one dealing with all the difficulties with the whole world with the making my calendar. He is, I think, more than 10 hours. And for the day, he's working on my calendar and talking and communicating with people. And also when I'm doing all the charities and people travel to Sri Lanka, I don't do much at all. I don't have time for that. He's the one putting everything together and the charity projects and all the difficult part he's doing. So I'm doing other parts. So that's why I said, now he's helping me, I help him too. So we help each other. Now as a team, then all other noble friends came together at the Blue Lotus Temple. Because of that, he is the ambassador to Sri Lanka. You know, the Blue Lotus Temple. He's the one people always connecting from here when they're going to go Sri Lanka. So what I'm telling today, so name of our friendship, I'm inviting, if you didn't travel to Sri Lanka, please come. Michael, now married and built a house in Sri Lanka, married a Sri Lankan girl. And also running a meditation center and being a meditation teacher now. How beautiful that. So that is our story.
Yeah. So, anybody, any questions?
Any questions?
I'd like to say that that's not as wide as the very few. I really enjoyed my time. And Bruce Sami, Bruce Narration. If you can, I have a trip to go with it. Check it out.
Yeah.
The only thing missing there is Todd. I want a Todd. I want you to come back there too.
Yeah. So whoever people go there, they are really falling in love. Because when Marty go there, we didn't have it, right?
No, we were just building it.
Building it.
The land,
right, exactly. Right, exactly. They're now totally opposite. Lots of trees and beautiful now. So everybody, thank you so much for coming. And so be noble to yourself and try to find the noble friend. Okay? Thank you so much.